Ciao my friend, welcome to the Say Cheese podcast, hosted by me, Lily Red, a destination wedding photographer based in Lake Como, along with my American husband, business partner, and occasional co-host,
Dick.
This podcast is for photographers and creatives who are tired of the constant chase of perfection and want to be surrounded by people that understand you, just like us. It turns out that saying cheese is the perfect word for getting people to smile. So are you ready to have some fun together? Let's go! Hello, hello everybody! Welcome to Say Cheese podcast. That original name, I love it so much. Very relatable to every photographer and known. Yes. And today we have a special guest from London. And she's a fashion photographer, one of my favorite type of photography, if I have to be honest, because I love fashion. Olivia Bossert! Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I never interview any fashion photographer, so I feel like I have millions of question for you.
Can't wait. Bring them at me.
How is London today?
It's nice, actually. It's warm. Spring is finally here.
Cloudy? Rainy?
Nope. Sunny. Sunny today, which is unusual. So it's nice.
There you go. There you go. And, do you live in downtown?
No, I live about an hour out of London.
Okay. So it's me. You know, I live outside Lake Como, but for everybody, of course, it's Lake Como.
Yeah, exactly. Like an hour out of London is London. It's London, right? It's all the same.
Did you born there?
No, I was born in Geneva.
Ah, so you're Switzerland.
Yeah, I'm Swiss.
Oh, I see. You're Swiss. You're Swiss born in Switzerland.
Yes, until I was 18.
What an interesting story. I want to know. So I always feel like I want to know how the photographer is born, where are you coming from? Because we can tell so much from the past, from the present, from the past, from a person. So please introduce yourself.
Yeah, of course. So I'm Olivia. I grew up, like I said, in Geneva, in Switzerland. I left the country when I was 18. So I moved to the UK to study fashion photography.
And can I stop you in one second here? Why did you move?
So I'm half Swiss, half British. My mum is British, but my dad is Swiss. And I went to an international school. Okay. And everyone where I was at school, they were all moving abroad to their home countries. And I kind of wanted to try going abroad. Also, there was a lot more creative degrees available in the UK than there was in Switzerland. And I was really like, I knew I wanted to study fashion photography, and there were no degrees that were specialized in fashion photography in Switzerland. So it made complete sense to move.
Was easy enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I did my degree and I moved to a part of the country called Cornwall, which is about 5 hours from London. So it's quite
far away. Amazing for photos.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Really beautiful. Perfect for photos. So I moved there and then I met my now husband just before finishing university.
At school?
I was at uni. He was one of the local boys.
No, it's important that you don't do the same job. So
no, we have not got the same job. I stayed with him there and I lived in Cornwall for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then
in Cornwall, Falmouth. Ah, okay.
Which is a tiny, tiny little town by the sea. Very cute. It is beautiful. And then about 3.5 years ago, we moved to be closer to London. So I now live up in London and I've been a photographer since I was 15. So
wow,
a long time.
So you start with the film?
I was kind of on the cusp of digital. So when I was 15, Flickr, website Flickr was all the rage. That was how I fell into it. And my dad had bought a Nikon D80. That was our first DSLR camera. So I stole it and I just taught myself how to use it, and fantastic. I was obsessed. And that was it. I've literally never, I've still got that camera just next to me in here.
Do you use it?
No, I don't. I probably should dig it out and see how it reacts.
You know, it's very trendy now.
It is.
I need to learn something about that. But I have a question from your past. I want to understand a little bit about you. So you always love fashion, or you always love photography more? What kind of girl you were?
Yeah, I was always into fashion. So the love of fashion came first. My mom is like really big into fashion. My grandma's into fashion. So we always had all the magazines in the house, and I grew up seeing them all the time. So there was always a desire to work in fashion, but not really knowing where that would go, because I wasn't interested in being a designer. I didn't really want to be a journalist.
Yes.
And I,
a model?
And
then,
no, not for me. No model. So then when I discovered photography, I was like, oh, this is exactly what I was looking for.
That's one, like, very young, very understand your future and the path question. Do you think the school was worth it to do? Or if you come back, like, what's the advice you give to somebody ask you, like, should I do the school or should I learn from another photographer?
There's no like right or wrong answer when it comes to university. I really enjoyed going. I don't think it's essential though. I think that if you want the time to explore creatively and learn different things, and I always look at it as like a stepping stone into being an adult. Yes. Or being a photographer, you get to try different things, dip your toe in without the full commitment of needing to make a living from it.
Yes.
So that's nice. Whereas if you're someone who just wants to get straight in and stuck in, and you're like, okay, I want to learn on the job, I want to be earning as I'm going, then assisting is a great way to do it. It's purely down to, do you want the university experience?
Yes.
If you do, go and do it, because it will not do any harm.
You're right.
If you don't worry about it. You don't need to.
What they teach you at the school? They teach you the history? They teach you the lighting?
We mostly got taught lighting.
Okay, lighting. Studio?
Studio lighting, location lighting, using a camera. When I started the course, was ahead of my peers in that I already knew how to use a camera. Some did, some didn't. Some were really brand new.
Wow.
No idea how to use a camera other than on auto. So we learned from the basics, which was good, because it's good to go back to basics and learn from scratch. And then we built on that. And then we would have different projects. We looked at different themes. This was a long time ago now, but we did looking at different sort of fashion designers and types, and we did some fashion film as well. So we were looking at all different kinds of things. And then at the end of our last year, it was just a year of doing one project basically that we could build a portfolio with.
I love that. So they teach also how to speak with models?
Questionable when it comes to, because we didn't really have models, we had just our friends. So we were having to just sort of get on with it. It was more the craft of making an image.
Okay, so the direction is coming from you.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like the direction, like, it's hard, it's challenging, because like, okay, you know how to use the camera, and now you have to translate what the brands want into your words, into the model. So you are like in the middle of them too.
Yeah. I've learned a lot more since finishing, just from trial and error and learning. And also the industry has changed so much, because I finished my degree 10 years ago.
Okay.
So much has changed in the world since I finished my degree. So I've had to keep learning and keep reading and keep watching and adapting to how things are going. So what I learned 10 years ago, what they were teaching me, some of it's relevant, some of it's not. Yes. And that's not their fault. It's just because things move so fast.
I know. And if you're not updated, you're not there, you're like done. It's done. And good for you to understand. It's good to hear that from you, because I feel like some people get stuck into like, oh no, that's what I learn. That's it.
Yeah.
No way. The future, let the future up there. But, you know, but it's good base. I feel like you got a good base. You know, what are you doing? And, you know, if you want to use film, if you want to use AI. Do you use AI inside
I
your
do use AI, yes.
Okay, so many questions. Later on, I want to finish into your fashion photography journey. But I know that you did some wedding too.
Yeah, very briefly. So when I finished
What happened? You finished school and then
I finished university. School and then because I stayed in Cornwall, which is so far away from London, there was no industry in fashion in the area. So I still wanted to be a photographer. So I thought, well, I'll just be a wedding photographer because I didn't think it would be any different. Okay. Turns out it's very different. So
What do you like? What did you like? What didn't you like?
I didn't like it. It wasn't for me. It's not creative enough. It's very documenting a day, which is wonderful, but it's just not what I love. Like, I love the creative process. So for me, it was not creative enough. And I also just didn't love shooting on the weekends.
You tell me.
It was just the lifestyle was not for me. So I realized, thankfully, very quickly that it wasn't right for me.
Do you feel like you did like one season?
I did one season.
It's good to know. It's good to hear that.
Yeah. So I basically set up, I remember setting up my website and everything. And I booked my first summer. So it probably took a year to get those first bookings. Mm-hmm. Then I had that summer. But I literally went to my first wedding, the first one I'd booked. And I came home and I was like, I've made a terrible mistake.
Did you give yourself the chance of try again? I feel like I understand what you mean. And that was your point too. And I said, like, I don't like weddings. It's because that documenting, it wasn't meant for me. It comes out that I love directing couples.
Yeah. Yeah. That's lovely.
So for me, that was the switch.
Yeah. Nice. I just didn't love the process and the whole day, and it was quite stressful. There's an element of, obviously, you need to get something really right for a couple, and there's a bit of a life and death feeling, whereas I'm photographing clothes and I just know that no one's going to die if we don't get that dress caught in that exact way on that moment. So I have a little bit less stress from that point of view. But I did all the weddings I had booked, so I had a year of sort of weddings to do. But
and
I
you did as a main photographer, or did you assist other photographers too? No. Or you went like full inside, you know, how to use the camera?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I just went in for it. So I did my year of weddings and then pivoted like immediately, but I fulfilled everything I was booked in, and then I pivoted and I was like, right, I'm going to make fashion photography work from here. So I spent the next year or so figuring out how I was going to be a fashion photographer despite living 5 hours from London. And that's where I started doing all my pitching, which is what I'm kind of known for now.
Oh, I love to hear that. So what's the advice that would you give to a person that want to start, is maybe in your same situation, done to do weddings, need to do something different, and where should I start? Or even, you know, pitching is so good because, you know, in the wedding industry, there is this style shoot, and the most popular question is, how should I pitch the wedding gown designer? That's the most difficult part to get when you start.
Yeah, there's multiple layers to it. So I can just say, just go and email everyone you can. But the reality is that until you have a portfolio of work that represents what they're looking for, you can email all you want, but you're not going to get anywhere. So step one is to study and get really clear on what your work is and what they need, and find a middle ground where you feel like you as an artist and photographer are creating the kind of work that you love, but also matches the brands you want to work with. And then once you have that foundation portfolio built up, and you can do it relatively quickly. Like, everyone always says to me, oh, it's going to take me like a year to build a portfolio. If you're dedicated and you do every shoot you do for your portfolio with like clear goals and clear intention.
Yep.
I know you can do it in 3 months. Yep. And then once you've got that, you can start emailing and pitching to brands, and whether it be wedding dress designers or, you know, fashion designers from London or all around the world, or even if you live, like I was speaking to someone the other day and they live in a tropical part of the world and they don't want to leave that area, but they can be emailing brands in Europe and saying, hey, just send me your product here and I'll shoot it for you. Fantastic. From my tropical island. Like you can do anything now. So
yeah, absolutely. By the way,
that's the very summarized version of it.
Yeah, you have a course, right?
Yes, I have a few courses. Yeah.
You guys, she's the boss about that. If you want to learn more, this is like just a surface and everything you say makes sense. I think nowadays we live in a time where most of the people want the things without the job. Like, why you yes and not me? Or why is not happening? And I'm not lucky and the blah, blah, blah excuses.
Yeah.
And they go like, you just have to work smart. And I feel like you don't need millions of photos.
No, you know? It's less is more, actually. It's better to have, people always ask me like, how many photos should I have in my portfolio, on my website or in the PDF I send out? And it's like 20 to 30. Like, that's it.
Yes.
You don't need much. It just needs to be the strongest work and it needs to be what you want to be hired for. So... Yeah. It doesn't need to take you a long time, but I get sent portfolios all the time where I'm seeing hundreds and hundreds of images and it's not serving you in any way. So less is more.
Be selective. Be selective about the work that you showcase. And I can see every time, like, ask photographer, wedding photographer, click, 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 click. We love to take photos. But
same.
But like we need to understand what's our clients do, like what we love. Okay, so how we understand that? Like if I'm a person that doesn't understand, okay, but I don't understand what's my style? How do I find my style in order to match with the designer that I want to photograph? Yeah. Where do I start?
Well, you could take my masterclass. I have a very cheap £47 masterclass called Find Your Style.
Oh, come on. That's not even a couple of beats anymore. Yeah. Really?
So I've got really? That. But to give you a bit more concrete, like yes. immediate action, the best thing to do, everyone always asks me this question. And I say, the first thing you have to do is stop looking at other photographers' work. Like, just tune into your own inspiration. And that's step one is like, if you have a favorite photographer, I always say, mute them for 3 months. You don't have to unsubscribe, but mute them for 3 months because you're being influenced so much without realizing it by that favorite person that you're losing like touch with what's in your heart. And what's going to make you stand out and appeal to brands way more than anything is your unique voice. And the only way that you can tap into that is if you can hear it. And if you're being distracted by so many different visuals all the time, it's really hard. I even say like take a social media detox for a week if you can and just go back to basics, write lists of like, what am I drawn to? Think back to your childhood. What was I interested in?
Yes.
All those things are going to inform. So to give you an idea of my own style, I was all over the place for a long time, like getting distracted, left, right, center, not knowing what I wanted. But it wasn't until I stripped everything back. And I actually went back and looked at my very first images that I was taking when I knew nothing, when I was completely new to it. And the themes that I was drawn to then are still the themes that I'm drawn to now. And they are like nature, animals, romance, fantasy, adventure, beauty.
Yes.
And I'm not at all interested in cities, in buildings, in grungy styles.
Yes.
So going back to those foundations are going to really help you inform what it is that you want. Then the question is always, but then how do I take what I love and do it for brands?
Yes.
So there has to be a bit of a balance of studying what brands need and want, and also figuring out what it is you want. And what tends to happen is when you tap into the kind of work that you want to create, you will naturally find brands that align with that. There are styles and there are so many brands all around the world.
Yes.
There's going to be something that suits you no matter what you want to do.
Yep.
But it's better to be really specific about that thing that you do and become known for that thing that you do, and then find the brands that suit you rather than try to match
what everybody.
Yeah. And match what you think the brand needs, because we can't ever really know, right?
Yep.
We're not in there. They're also planning like 2 years in advance, 3 years in advance.
Wow.
They're being bought, they're being sold, they're being rebranded, they're having new people come in with new ideas. So it's not useful to mold yourself to, let's say you want to work for H&M.
Yes, please. Example.
The brand direction that H&M have right now might change next year.
Yes.
But also when you look at the work that a big brand like H&M use, they have so much variety. 1 minute there'll be like a floral field shoot up on the walls of the shop. The next month, it will be like a really cool studio shoot.
Interesting.
They need all kinds of things.
Okay.
So they will hire specific photographers for those specific things. But if you are not specific, they can't know to hire you for that thing.
Yes. Totally makes sense. Did you ever work with big brands like that?
I've not worked with H&M, but I've worked with other big brands, like UK brands.
My question is like, how much direction you get from them and how much creativity you can put inside the photo shoot?
It varies. I often get hired based on my portfolio. So people will say, we're doing a shoot, you know, in a floral field or in a really cool house and your work suits it. Do you have any ideas for us? But most of the time they're coming to me with a very solid need.
Okay.
And then I shoot what they need and I'll bring elements of what I do. But most of my portfolio is not made up of my client work. It's made up of my work.
Okay. So if they come with, we want, like, for example, a flower field, you have to send them the location.
No.
How is working with the brands? Like, how it works?
It's mostly I just turn up. It's unusual that I have to do much. Sometimes there'll be phone calls beforehand where they ask me for my opinion, but most of the time I'm just brought in once the plan is already in shape. Like they already have the location booked, they already have the models booked, they have an idea of what they want to do, and they're just looking for the right photographer to do that thing. So I don't do model bookings, I don't do location bookings, I don't do... That's producer's job. If I get asked to do things like that, I would charge a production fee.
Yes. Okay. What if you don't like the model?
I don't really have a choice. Yeah. I mean, it's unusual. Sometimes it happens, but it's you just get used to it and you work with what you've got and you make it work.
Or what if like, okay, you love it, but you don't click with the model?
Again, you just have to get on with it.
Just
and
to get the through job
like
done.
Through lots of practice and
yeah,
being able to, I'm quite good at empathizing with people and
yes,
getting on their energy and being able to read them. So if I can tell that a model is just not interested in talking, because you've got to remember that they go on so many different shoots every day. Models are meeting new people, huge groups of people every day. And some of them are going to come and they're going to be super excited to shoot with you. And they're going to be really enthusiastic and really confident. And they want to chat. And then you've got to match that energy, right?
Yes.
There'll be other times where they turn up and they're like, you know what? I'm tired. I've met 20 people this week. I don't want to talk to anyone. I just want to do my job and then go home. And then you just kind of like match that and you go, okay, cool. You chill in your corner. We'll call you when we need you. I'm going to be like honest and get what we need out of you.
Totally.
I'll respect your boundaries. And then we're all good.
Okay. That's, I feel like, no, I cannot apply to clients in a wedding industry, but I feel like, no, it's not true. Sometimes there are clients, like when you begin and you have to take everything, you know, you take also the clients that they didn't click and you have to go like, hey, let's do it. It's so hard. It's harder. Like, I have to admit that.
It is harder. Like when you have to get something out of someone and they don't want to give it to you, it's harder. It's for sure harder.
It happens.
And I don't love, but Yeah. But that's the job.
Yeah, that's the job. That's where you see like we're professional. We can do, it's easier to do easy clients, but we can do also harder clients.
Yeah.
Hire us, so no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like more you work and more like, how much of your personality do you show in order also to attack clients that match with you too? Not only the photographer, but also you, Olivia.
I'm pretty, what you see is what you get. I'm quite, this is how I am naturally. So I'm not a very good actress, I would say. So I think that it's just how, who I am. Again, reading the room as much as I can. Sometimes you really click with clients. Other times you have a bit more of a professional relationship and both are fine. Yeah. I'm not sure, but just...
Fantastic.
I am who I am.
You just be you. You just be you and you go with the flow.
Yeah.
Okay. I read that. Now, why you speak a right question? Because like otherwise I keep forgetting. Is my next question is, so I think fashion set up trends for weddings, right? So everything that happened in fashion and after arrived to the wedding industry for like, photographers like me that love fashion and I really bring it into weddings. But where fashion get inspired and fashion follow any trend? Like how much of trends you include in your photography?
It's a mix. I tap into trends for my personal work when they are exciting to me or when I feel like they're going to suit my portfolio. There are certain trends that I'll just steer clear of. Like, I don't know, let's say that a trend is very hard, edgy, metallic, leather, like dark. That will suit some people, but I wouldn't do that. But then trends don't tend to, the trends within photography itself, they do come and go, but I try and create as timeless imagery as I can so that it feels like it's going to stand the test of time.
Brava.
It's about being selective and going with what you're interested in. That's what I do anyway.
No, I love it. I love it. I feel like trends, you have to listen, take an eyes. It's always good to know what's trendy. But and if you want to include it in your style, so like copy, paste, rotate. But photos, it's good to see, it's good to hear that even in fashion, the photos are timeless. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good because it's like, you see them in 20 years and you go like, okay, those are wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
What about, so you're working a lot, you've been working for a long time. When comes the time that you don't feel like inspired, but you still have to work? Like, and you're pushing yourself. You get this job and you're physically and mentally exhausted.
Yeah, it's definitely a balance. I've learned over the years how much I can give and do well. And that's also true trial and error. So I only shoot twice or three times a month now.
Okay, no more than that. You know that that's your limit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. If perfect. I do more than that, it's just, I'm not going to deliver good work and I'm going to be exhausted. But, you know, obviously we hit periods where the creative burnout happens and I'm not getting that many ideas. So if I do have a few weeks where I'm not feeling that inspired, I don't worry about it too much. I try and focus on other things, like, you know, doing back-end research on things, setting up systems, doing things that are a little bit more systems or like admin-focused that I don't necessarily need my creative brain for.
Yeah, and it's good for you. Like, are you happy to do it?
Like, the reason I do the education stuff as well is because it allows me to use a different part of my brain, which I quite enjoy. Yeah, so it's like, it's still creative, but it's a different kind of creativity.
I love that.
Whereas with my photography, it comes and goes, ebbs and flows. And at the moment, I'm in a real creative moment. I've got lots of ideas and I just go with it. Like, when I'm feeling it, I'll just put all my ideas together. I also make a lot of mood boards. I share like and save loads of stuff so that if I do have a moment where maybe things are a little bit less inspiring, I can dip into my bank of ideas.
Yes.
And if something feels cool, I'll work on that. And sometimes just you have to initiate it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily appear out of nowhere. Sometimes you have to work on it a little bit and make it happen. So if I haven't shot anything for myself for a month, 2 months, and I want to do something and I'm not actually getting any ideas, yes, I will kind of force the process, like get on Pinterest, go out for a walk. I'm inspired by nature, so I'll go out and maybe explore a new area, watch a movie that's a bit different.
Yes.
Listen to some new music, like do the things that I know light me up, and then the ideas kind of come naturally. But it doesn't need to happen immediately. It's almost like plant the seed that you want something to come, and then it will come in a few days, a week.
So for example, if like you go outside for a walk and you feel inspired by butterflies, now it's butterfly season is coming, and you go home and you create a mood board and it's there.
Yeah.
And maybe if the right clients you come, is already there to be used instead of like, oh my God, what I do for these clients now. Interesting.
Yeah, it's more for those kinds of ideas. It's more I pitch them to magazines. So I will take the idea and, you know, approach a magazine and say, I have this idea. I've really fleshed it out. So I've got all the details planned. And then I get a magazine to approve the mood board and want to work on it with me. And then we do the shoot.
No, they send you dresses, they send you models.
No, so I do everything myself. That's where I do more of the planning.
What about the dresses?
Stylist. So a stylist. Stylist does all that. So I'll find the right stylist and then they...
You give some input?
Yeah, so I'll give an idea of... it's a collaborative process. So I will have a vague idea of what I want the styling to look like, but then I will ask the stylist what they think, and often it ends up being like they come at me with an idea I hadn't thought of, or they'll be like, oh, why don't we try this? And it's a nice, I love collaboration, I love fusing my ideas with others, and that's where it really like comes to life. It's almost like my idea becomes their idea, and it's like a big brain of ideas.
Collaboration is the future. I truly believe in the power of collaboration too, between photographers, even between photographers, like sometimes I imagine to work with a photographer that has completely different vision and style of me. And so like, what I can learn from somebody is completely different of me.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the opposite. Like somebody is so different, but still love it. Like, let's say that.
Exactly.
Collaboration is the future. I totally agree with you. What about editing? Do you do your own editing, or you send somebody something out?
It depends what's needed. I can do basic retouching. I'll do my own color grading most of the time, unless the client like has a really specific need or if I have a specific need. But all the retouching these days, I give out to retouchers. So I don't do any of that myself. I outsource
it. Any AI program for fashion photographers?
There is stuff coming out. Like obviously Photoshop has generative fill, and but I've not seen anyone successfully use AI for like detailed high fashion skin retouching that is what we require. That I'm sure will
it's
be
coming.
Better. I'm sure it will be coming. I don't know what that is, but at the moment I'm just outsourcing to people who are really, really talented. Basically paint images.
Yeah, I believe that the photographer job is not editing, right?
No, oh no, it's so different.
So different. Like there is a wonderful tools nowadays for wedding photographer that help us. But you know, we work with a thousand of photos. It's not 20. So it's like I feel like the editing is not the same.
No, precise. It's completely different.
It's different, but I'm sure it's coming something out also for fashion pretty soon. If not, let the people work.
Yeah, exactly.
Old school is always good. What about AI? So I know we talked a little bit earlier, and I know people are very scared about it. Most of the people are scared. They don't know how to use. For me, when I hear something that is new, I'm always very fascinated. And I start to use, for me, I'm telling you, I start to use because I needed to create something that in reality is too much money, energy, almost impossible to recreate. And so for now, I'm creating this paint portrait photography. I call them AI bride. And it's like the my creativity has never been so high as today.
Yeah.
Tell me about you and how brands are approaching this into fashion. Like, I saw Etro did recently a campaign full in AI. It was so fascinating.
Yeah, I think brands are still figuring out how it's going to be used for them, what they're going to do with it. There's so much happening so fast that I can't keep up with all the new things that are coming out every day. The way that I'm using it, and my personal opinion on it is that it's the Wild West. So right now there's going to be, we know there's going to be reform. There's going to be new laws. There's going to be stuff that's going to change. So the way that it is right now is probably not the way it's going to look in 5 years time, 10 years time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That being said, the people who are totally terrified of it and who refuse to look at it, I think are the ones who, not everyone obviously, but will probably struggle further down the line with feeling left behind.
Yes.
I think these are tools that we, even if we don't use them, we need to understand them and we need to know how they work and find ways that we can use them to our advantage. So I have been using Midjourney primarily to mood board my ideas. So I'm obviously coming up with ideas for my shoots all the time. And instead of trying to find a reference on Pinterest that looks exactly like the concept I have in my head, I can make it. And then people say, oh, but yeah, but what's the point of doing the shoot? Because the clothes aren't the clothes and the model's not the model. Like, it's just an outline of an idea. And then when you shoot it, it becomes something totally different anyway. But
yes,
it's really helpful to demonstrate to brands, to team members, to models, I want this kind of thing. I did a shoot end of last year, where I did the entire mood board on Midjourney, and we designed the lighting, the clothing, everything was based on the images, on the mood board that I made through Midjourney. So there's all kinds of things. I'm also using another software called Modify, where it uses AI tools to manipulate certain parts of the image. So I'm kind of fusing real photography with AI. And I think
that was my next question.
Yeah, it's really interesting for me to take what is a physical thing and mesh it with something that is artificial. I'm even exploring, like, how can I make something on AI, print it out, make it real, put it back in, photograph it. Like, there's so many.
Because I'm sure brands are coming soon enough, if not already there, and say, hey, I give you my clothes, put on AI, on a model, on a situation that.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Like, I feel like you photograph and it's.
At the moment, there's no quick way of doing it. At the moment, the only way that I've seen that it's possible to do that, and I could be wrong, there could be an easier way to do this, but would be to photograph the clothes in a studio on a model with the lighting that you would want to have the AI image to have, and then superimpose the clothing that you photographed onto the AI image that has the lighting. So you'd probably, I haven't done this yet, but create the AI image first, then bring it into studio, and then you would like match it as much as possible, and then it would just be like a Photoshop. So it's actually a lengthy process because you'd have to do lots of switching and changing. But
because Midjourney is not that specific yet.
It's not.
Okay, take it or leave it. Because if you're not going that, you know, right now I have a big problem with hands and with eyes. Like, the hands are super long and big and eyes are like this.
Yeah, eyes and hands.
And so I take the eyes and I put it on Photoshop. And
it's not the miracle solution that everyone thinks it is or worries it is. It's just, for me, it's just fun. A tool. It's just a tool and a fun thing to play with. And it's helping me, like you said, get bigger ideas, try new things. Sometimes it shows me something I'm like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. I'm going to explore that more. So it's fun. Just treat it as something fun. And I think that, like, we need to know how these tools work so that we can stay relevant and be competitive going down the line. What I can see happening in the future is it will be similar to how, like, some photographers are purely film photographers these days and they only want to shoot film. In the wedding industry, I know that's still a thing as well. Like, there's purely film. there will be purely like people who photograph nothing but real things. And then there will be photographers who fuse AI with imagery. There'll be photographers who are purely AI photographers. There's going to be like a mishmash of everything. And I think that
yes,
that's just how it's going to end up being.
You know, I was talking with my dad the other day. He loves art, and he said he tried to understand AI. He's from a different generation. He doesn't get it. Mm. But he saw my image and said, like, okay, before photography, people used to paint to represent an image, right? And then photography arrived, and the painters start to do abstract
yeah.
paintings, because the representation of the reality was easy to photograph with a camera. And now everybody has access to the camera. And so we need to go back to create this imaging world with AI. So I feel like he made me think about, we're like, interesting. Like we're yeah. really facing something new. Yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we don't know where it's going to go. We can only be a part of it and be on the ride.
Embrace it. Like, how many things we saw in our life? I'm in my 30s and I go up without a phone and without like a cell phone and sending letters.
Yeah, I know.
And now, like, I'm grateful. I'm really grateful to everything is coming in our generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the future is coming with a lot of virtual. Virtual, like I was in Las Vegas and I tried this goggle AI, like a Pro Vision.
Yeah.
I didn't want to try, I was a bit Italian, so like, I don't care about these things. But it was free and there was an Apple and I tried, and at the end of this 20 minutes, I cried.
Really?
Because I saw the future in front of me.
Wow.
I saw that's the future. That's like, it's goosebumps. You
wow.
see,
I've like, not tried that yet. I should try.
Do they have in London? Because I know they don't have in Europe yet.
No, I don't think so. Maybe, I don't know.
Take a trip to New York?
Any excuse.
An excuse. Like, you know, they're coming pretty soon, even in Europe, I'm sure. It's just a matter of papers and stuff. Try them on and you're going to see the future in front of your eyes. And you go like, oh, and you start to think about, is there any way that I can include this in me?
Yeah.
It's always like that, you know? You know how to use the camera, you grow up, you know? I feel like that's how, I don't know if it also comes to you, this feeling of being a little bit unsatisfied. Like, to me, it comes every time I get something, I know how to use, I know how to get it, I know the job, and I always ask to myself, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
What can I do? What's your next?
We're all the same. What's next for me?
Mm-hmm.
What is next? I'm working on lots of projects. At the moment, funny enough, like I'm either going really virtual with AI or I'm going mm-hmm. back to basics and I'm doing like drawing on photos. There's no Ooh. Middle ground with me. So at the moment I'm really working with mixed media, which is something I've wanted to do for a long time. Again, I'm actually looking at how I can create things artificially, then maybe yes. print them out, put them on photos, like use them in that kind of way. So I'm in a creative phase of exploring new ideas and taking what I've got as a foundation in my work. Because I'm good now. I've got lots of clients. I'm really lucky. Yep. Everything's yep. working really well. So now I'm looking at the next chapter with that. And I haven't actually shot much outside of the UK. I've been abroad with British brands, but growing up in Switzerland, I speak fluent French. I want to tap into the French market, the Spanish market, the Swiss market, the German market.
Italy too.
Yeah, Italian. My granddad's Italian.
There you go.
I don't speak any, sadly, but I would love to shoot in Rome, in Milan. Florence is my favorite. So I have big, big ambitions. So I'm working on the next phase, which is, Europe. Basically,
that's so good. And you know, from London is super easy to go everywhere.
Yeah, to be honest,
like super, super easy. Wow, that's you know, after speaking with you, I feel like better, because I thought that was just me inside. This, oh my god! And you know, you do education too, and educate. Like, doesn't feel good helping people?
Love it. Like, it's the best feeling. There's nothing better than feeling like we're all in it together.
I agree.
helping each other. And there's, everyone always says like, oh, is there not, there's not enough work. And I'm like, there's so much work. There's
absolutely
more than enough.
Absolutely.
So it's a wonderful community and I feel very fortunate to be able to do all the things I do.
How is the community of the fashion photographers? Like, you help each other? Is it challenging? Is it like, I don't say things? There is enough education around?
It very much depends. I think in my corner of the world, it's a very welcoming, very open space. I think historically it was very closed off, very secretive, but that's changing more and more ever since, you know, the internet came out. There's obviously been way more information online. Some people are just very private. So there are some photographers who don't necessarily hold things back because they're keeping things secret. It's because they just don't want to be publicly online. And that's fine. But there is definitely a community of educators like me. There's another one. She's called Carly Dame. She's fantastic. And she's a Canadian photographer who primarily she only shoots on film. And she's also got a whole education business going. There's another friend of mine called Stacey Lamb. She's building an education platform. And we're
fantastic.
All fashion photographers. And we all chat and we all like text one another as well. But we all do different things. So where I'm specialized in pitching and portfolio building, Carly's really good at other things and Stacey's really good at other things. So I'm always sending people to my friends to say like, oh, well, I actually can't help you with that, but my friend Carly, my friend Stacey can, or this person can. I'm not very good at, so I don't teach any lighting. I don't teach any technical stuff.
Okay.
Not because I can't, but just because it's not my interest. So I send people, there's a really great course online by a guy called Felix Kunz. I don't know if you've heard of him.
No.
His course.
But I'm very bad on lighting. So tell me, send me somewhere to learn.
Felix does, he just teaches basically online. He just courses online about lighting and using flash. And his courses are super good. So I'm always sending people to his courses because he explains lighting and flash really well. So yeah, tons of resources out there.
We love lighting and flash for elementary school. Okay, so where did people can find you on Instagram, website? Please share, because like there is so much to learn from you and be inspired by you.
So I have two businesses, Olivia Bossert, which is just my photography. So if you want to see my actual portfolio, it's just at Olivia Bossert on Instagram or oliviabossert.com. And then if you want to learn from me, Olivia Bossert Education. So that is at Olivia Bossert Education on Instagram or www.oliviabossereducation.com. And I send out like almost daily newsletters. I've got tons of freebies if anyone wants
a freebie. Such a freebies. You're the freebie queen. Brava. Yeah, yeah. Freebies are so good.
Yeah, so there's a free pitching template. It's really, which gets used all the time. And it's exactly what like I've always used to pitch myself with. I've got a free estimate template. So if you want to put estimates together for brands, there's one of those there. Free like online course about building a foundation for your portfolio, photo shoot checklist, like all the things, and a blog post and podcast and all sorts.
So absolutely. And you know, as a wedding photographer, it's not like, oh, she's fashion, it's not for me. Actually, I would love to learn more from you to get this editorial vibe in a wedding photo.
Yeah.
So everything is good. So you guys, absolutely. Check her out because especially if you want to get into this editorial wedding photographer, you always need a fashion photographer vibe. Thank you so much for your time here with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ciao, bella, grazie.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Say Cheese podcast. Before we go, I want to share a big thank you and grazie for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so that you automatically get the next week's episode. Stay excited and remember to spread the love. Actually, spread the cheese. See you.